Yeah, there's not really any monopolizing of baseball agent. Can you hear Henry?
Yeah, I can. Let me do my impression of him.
Okay.
Meow.
I gotta tell you, that was not a great impression.
Oh, well, sorry. Yeesh.
Like, I'm hearing him, and it's just not... Anyways, yeah, I don't think that there's anything that letting him into this room would actually solve.
He's just a loud cat.
Yeah, Scott, and would only be louder if you were allowed within proximity of the microphone.
That's true.
Scott
well,
Boris...
Maybe, well, hold on. This is important. Okay. Maybe we should give him a cat mic. Like a lavalier mic that we just keep on him.
Just so we can check in with him throughout the course of the episode?
Yeah, like an on-field reporter.
Right, let's throw to Henry now.
Meow!
Gonna have a lot of fun. Gonna hit a home run. In the littlest league possible. In the littlest league possible. Gonna make a big splash.
Welcome back to Tater Tots. It's another week. I'm Tim.
I'm Duncan.
And, it's getting cold outside, but... You know, that off-season baseball action is really kind of heating up. At least compared to last week, I would say.
You'd say the tot stove is marginally hotter?
Well, I would say that not only is the tot stove the market for tater tots on the move to new teams, or, you know, perhaps returning to old teams, is a little bit hotter than it was last week, but also, you know, there's just news this week. There's baseball news.
Yeah. Will Smith signed a 3-year deal with the Braves.
Getting jiggy with it.
He loves to get jiggy with it.
It being the Braves.
The Atlanta Braves organization is the entity with whom he wants to get jiggy.
And besides top-line relief pitcher Will Smith signing his contract, there were myriad ugly
stories?
Controversies. Terribly
what stories?
Horribly
What's going on
ugly.
With baseball lately? Why,
is our king of baseball policy... That you have to, that there has to be stories.
I would say the king of baseball section, our policy this week should be that baseball ought to stop shooting itself right in its dang foot.
I think that
League baseball
certainly is a noble and lofty goal.
Mm-hmm.
It's impossible.
I don't know. I feel that for many years, Major League Baseball had fewer controversies, just getting you ready for Europe. Overall than they have had in the past month. Probably for like 7 years they had fewer controversies than this.
Let me hit you with something.
Good.
It is impossible for corporate entities to have positive brand associations in 2019. It's impossible. Like it can't be done. There is no corporate entity that anyone likes.
Just by virtue of them existing in a capitalist system and trying to make money.
Something is obviously going to come out and make people take sides about it. I hate Oral-B toothbrushes because they are burning down the rainforest or something.
Sure.
Or, you know, like, baseball is my favorite, but they can't stop...
deducing the baseball.
Supporting domestic abuse. Yeah, I mean, just like, even... Let's talk about Gabe Kapler right off the bat, right? It's just like simply by virtue of the fact of his association with professional baseball.
Right. You're saying that the masculinity and the culture of baseball was going to ensnare Gabe Kapler kind of no matter what, that anyone involved in this game.
Well, anyone involved in money-making enterprise in entertainment, especially... I don't know what it is. It's just like the fact that like culturally anything that you would claim as just like an honest hobby or something that brings you enjoyment, like you can't. It's impossible to enjoy anything anymore. Is what I'm saying, because the stakes are too high. There's too much money involved, and then that puts you in a position where if you're Gabe Kapler, you need to look the other way because like. If you try to speak out on it, somebody's going to say, well, hey, there's too much money involved. There's nothing we can do about this.
So can we talk through Gabe Kapler? I had like a bit of a meltdown when the Giants hired him as their manager.
Yeah.
And I said, well, I'll never like baseball again. And I think I've kind of mellowed on that position. But I do want to talk through it a little bit.
Okay.
Because I'm not sure how I should feel anymore. So the Giants hired Gabe Kapler as their manager, which was a controversial decision.
Nice.
Thank you. because he was involved in an incident when he was a player development manager on the Dodgers. He received an email from the grandma of a 17-year-old girl who had been beaten up by some associates of some Dodgers players at an Arizona hotel. Later, the police expanded those charges to include sexual assault. And then additionally, there was an allegation of another Dodger minor leaguer sexually assaulting one of the housekeeping staff at that hotel.
That he knew about?
Yes. And then he talked to the hotel manager and he attempted to arrange a meeting with the victim of the previous assault rather than taking this to the police.
And let me stop you right there.
Yes.
Because, like, A, it never needs to be that way. Like, if in any circumstance, if someone reports a crime to you, you never need to, even if you're like, you know, even if you're invested in the people who committed the crime to the point where it would be bad for your career if you had to turn them in, like, you don't, obviously you don't need to cover for them. And yet, like, that seems to be like the default course of action.
Mm-hmm. What Gabe Kapler did is he said, well, let me try to arrange a dinner between the players and this girl, and I'm going to be like a mediator and try and sort things out. Obviously, a very stupid thing to do.
Why?
I think he did it because of overconfidence, and he just didn't have the training or awareness to know that that wasn't the thing that he should do.
Right.
So the Giants had the choice. They had narrowed it down to 3 potential managerial candidates. And I, along with everyone else, said, all of these people are obviously very qualified. Why are you going to hire the one that's going to upset everybody that has this in his past? Like, even if you think he's truly contrite, even, like, no matter what, it seems like a dumb decision. Because you're going to start out in a hole, you're going to inspire a lot of bad will. How come?
Well, not only that, like, that would be in play if any team hired Gabe Kapler,
mm-hmm.
but like also the fact of his association with Farhan Zaidi at that point,
because
Farhan was like, what was his position?
He was the assistant GM of the Dodgers at that point.
Right.
So, and he was involved in this. He has a prior relationship with Gabe Kapler. That seems to be a big reason that he was brought on.
But also a big reason why, like, this decision is coming under even more scrutiny.
Mm-hmm.
Because, like, now Farhan has to deal with, well, what did he know? Why didn't he do anything about it? Again, but, like, you know, what did he know? Why didn't he do anything about it? And, like, if it had been anybody else, if the Giants had hired anybody else, or if Gabe Kapler had been hired by anyone else but the Giants, you don't have to deal with both of these things at the same time.
Yeah.
If you're Farhan Zaidi, and he, I don't know, it seems like he made it harder on himself.
It caused me to lose a lot of faith in Farhan Zaidi, who I had previously thought seemed like a really competent president of baseball operations, and now I'm thinking, is he just bringing a lot of his friends in here, making dumb choices, or alternatively, the kind of person who makes Astros-like choices that he thinks that Gabe Kapler is going to be a 1% better manager than Pedro Grifol, therefore he's going to do it despite any negative press?
Oh, I'm sure that's why he did it.
Well, that really sucks, because, like, I had bought into this idea that he could be a manager with a focus on analytics that would make the Giants a good team, all without sacrificing some of the human-focused tendencies that the Giants have genuinely displayed in a lot of ways by actually focusing on bringing in good clubhouse people, on not nickel-and-diming people in their arbitration processes. Like, the Giants, I think, have actually displayed some positive tendencies in the past, and now I'm worried that that's dead and gone. All this also comes on the heels of Giants president Larry Bear being suspended after a video came out of him shoving his wife to the ground in public and her yelling afraid, and one of the Giants trustees, Charles Johnson, bankrolling this racist political radio ad. Bunch of terrible stuff going on, and now they just dug this bigger hole.
I think operationally, from a baseball point of view, more teams are going to start acting like the Astros than not.
Yeah, there's just too much, I don't know.
There is too much pressure on gaining a competitive advantage to not look the other way on stuff, I feel.
Well, it's sad. And it got me thinking again about this idea that we've come around on occasionally on the Kings of Baseball segment, which is that sports teams are civic institutions that are run as corporations. The Safeway or the Walmart in your town is not, I mean, I guess to some extent it can be, but it's not something that you take civic pride in the same way that you do a sports team. And it just sometimes feels so wrong that all of the public outcry in the world actually has no bearing on the decisions of a baseball team.
Yeah, and I think, I don't know if it's always been that way, because I think that obviously, like, all corporate entities are under a lot of scrutiny right now,
mm-hmm.
in a way that, you know, if it were even, like, 1999, like, I'm sure that half of this stuff wouldn't have come to light, and you could continue to take civic pride in the Giants without needing to also, like, counterbalance that against their horrible sins that they've committed in the name of
efficiency,
profit or
baseball
glory.
Games.
Yeah.
So I wanted to say a couple more things about this Kapler hiring. One, I watched the press conference where Gabe Kapler was introduced, and as always, when I watch someone speak in person, I got less mad at them because I'm weak. He and Zaidi both seem genuinely contrite, and I believe them. Maybe I shouldn't, but I believe them when they say that this same thing wouldn't happen again. Kapler seems like a genuinely kind of a thoughtful person. Some people dislike him because he kind of sounds like a self-help book, but I don't mind that as much. To me, it's indicative of someone who has thought a lot about themselves. But all this contrition is only coming now that they knew that they would have to address this because he was hired again, rather than after the incidents initially came out. It's not like he came to this realization a long time ago. So that's the real problem, I think. You know, maybe if Kapler had realized his mistakes a long time ago, this would have been different. But this all does feel a little bit forced.
I also think, I don't know, you're always expecting somebody to learn a lesson.
Mm-hmm.
And even in a broad sense, when you talk about, like, being in a career situation in which there is a lot of pressure to look like everything is above board, even if it's not, you know?
Mm-hmm.
And that stuff kind of goes all the way back. Like, that, you think about, like, what happened at Penn State a couple years ago.
Yeah.
And you would think that somebody would at some point have the wherewithal to be like, ah, I recognize what's happening right in front of me, and I don't want a repeat of that other thing that happened, so I'm going to handle this differently. I don't know. It's just frustrating that it keeps happening to me. It is not that it happens to me. To me, it is frustrating that it keeps happening.
Yeah.
Because, you know, and then the fact that then they roll out and say, like, oh, well, if we had another chance, we would do it a different way. And I don't know. This happens all the time, and it seems like nothing changes and no one is willing to stand up about it and do something different, you know, than more often than not. Although I guess if somebody did report it, like if he had reported it, it would have been a very different news story, and maybe we wouldn't have recognized it as something that happens all the time. That makes sense.
Yeah. Well, yeah. So, as king of baseball, I decree that I'm sad.
Yeah, me too. I mean, not necessarily for baseball-related reasons, but if that's a decree that we can make as kings of baseball, like, if I can put my seal on that, I'll put my seal on that.
Good.
Yeah, speaking of teams gaining competitive edges through dubious means, the Astros seem to have literally cheated at baseball as far back as 2017 by using cameras to aid in sign stealing.
Mm-hmm.
Which, I mean, when compared with the clear human toll that was taken because of Gabe Kapler and his lack of action, is much lighter fare. Which is kind of frustrating for me, because it's stuff like this, and, like, now you think about, like, Deflategate, which was, like, a big national news story and seemed to be, like, the highest possible, like, stakes for a team that had committed a sports team that had committed wrongdoing on the field. But, like, when stuff like this comes out, it always makes me feel, like, a ton more distant from, like, my favorite teams, or even the teams that I love to hate. Just because, like, what actually are the stakes? It's just,
yeah,
like, a lot of...
They're just trying to win or lose a silly, goofy game.
Yeah.
Maybe we should have done this in a different order. I don't know. the Astros had a camera out in center field, and using some kind of computer, they would relay that to the dugout, and then the players would bang on a trash can if the pitch was going to be a changeup. Very interesting to me how fast they were able to relay it, because oftentimes, like, text messages and stuff just don't go through that fast.
Right.
And the whole sequence is really quick. You got to get it from the camera, relay that information, tell the player standing in the dugout hallway, and have them bang the pitch all in time for the hitter at the plate to recognize it. So
there's a really good video.
Pretty impressive.
There's a really good video by breakout internet sensation John Boy Media that demonstrates exactly how it worked, and it is striking how quick they were able to communicate to the hitter what the signs had been. Which, yeah, you know,
like, you gotta figure it out first. The signs aren't just 1, 2, 3, 4. They all have systems, you know, like outs plus one, or like it's the sign that goes down after the third sign if it's two outs, or fourth sign if it's one out. Like, it's all, they all do kind of crazy stuff, so they have to decode their signs first and then do this whole thing,
right? Which, I mean, I think it's especially rare for a professional team to get caught this red-handed.
Seldom happens.
Which is maybe...
Although it did happen recently with the Apple Watch thing, so often.
But yeah, I mean, it's the same thing. I don't know how red-handed the New England Patriots were caught with Deflategate, but Deflategate was like a true national phenomenon, and everybody was like appalled by it. There was also, they also had some stuff where they were spying on teams, and there's like all this like uproar and furor, and it gets like headlines, and it's like the top story tonight and all this stuff. But I don't know, our friend Andrew asked us if it was a big deal, and I said yes, in the sense that, like, you know, cheating is a big deal, but like, I don't feel particularly mad at them about it. You know what I mean?
No, that's a good point. I don't feel mad either. I can recognize on its face that it is a big deal. They literally broke the rules. You're not allowed to use a camera to steal signs. You can use a person if you want, so a person on second base or something.
Yeah.
But they went ahead and got right to cheating,
and I
which is bad for the game of baseball. If everyone's allowed to cheat, then
everyone,
I guess, it would be all would be well, because it would be equal. Actually,
yeah, everyone should be allowed to cheat.
That would be one way to go about
it. What if every team got to pick one rule that they could break?
Oh man, what an interesting question! Wow,
what rule would you break?
Like, what rule? Well, what if you took away the rule that said when a runner crosses home plate, that counts as a run?
No. I think that you have to reserve some rules.
Okay.
But every, like,
there's like a set of rules.
We say, like, here are the rules that you can break if you want to.
Mm-hmm.
And everybody gets to pick one.
Ooh, man, what a juicy question.
Just make baseball like a dirty free for all.
You could get rid of the force out rule. You have to tag someone.
I think they need to be like I think they need to be ancillary rules. Like, I don't know. Maybe this isn't so juicy, because like obviously everybody needs like a foundation on which we can play the game still.
Right. But it could be like third strike bunts.
Oh. That's kind of interesting.
Fouls don't count as strikes. Fly ball caught in the foul territory isn't an out.
Would you apply that as a batting team or a pitching team? Probably a pitching team. That's
whichever is advantageous in the individual case, yeah. What else could you do?
I don't know. I feel like most of the rules are pretty fundamental to like the play of baseball.
I mean, obviously, as we discovered recently in the World Series, there are a lot of goofy little rules that are of no consequence to anyone.
What if you could run under the base paths?
Oh, good rule. Good rule. Now that would be, oh my god, I would pay $500 to watch one game where the players were allowed to run out of the base paths.
Where would they go?
They could go anywhere they wanted to. They could go out onto the street. It would be like that John Boyce story about football.
Right, but everywhere.
Yeah.
Oh, I hadn't even considered. Yeah, well, you could put like a marathon runner on your team.
Uh-huh. They just immediately sprint out of the stadium.
And then come back in to touch second base, but then also they leave again.
They tire out all the fielders and then come and run around the rest of the bases.
This King of Baseball decree is that breaking rules is good sometimes.
That's not where I thought we were going to land, but I agree.
I mean, I don't, like...
What are you going to do? I agree.
Who was hurt by it? Danny Farquhar. And he's fine.
I suppose a lot of baseball teams that the Astros played in 2017 were hurt by it, in theory. Although, the astonishing thing, I don't know if you've seen this, the Astros home and road WRC plus, weighted runs created plus, from that year were identical.
Hmm.
Meaning that even though they had an extra advantage at home by being able to know what pitches were coming, it was of no value to them, apparently. Either that, or for some reason, they had a weirdly bad year at home when usually you're already better than you are on the road.
If I were another baseball player, like on another team, I would be very mad.
Mm-hmm.
In conclusion, this is my sum up. If I were a player on another team, I would be mad. If I were Danny Farquhar, who is the one who exposed a lot of this, I would be very mad. But as a fan, I got other things I want to be mad about.
Yeah.
Like, my favorite teams reflecting my civic values.
For example, Team USA.
Mmm!
There's a little segue for you. Can you give me an update on the U.S. Olympic, or on the baseball Olympic qualifiers?
If there is any professional baseball team that reflects my civic values, certainly it must be the American Olympic team. That's not, like, an ironic thing. I don't know that they've done anything wrong.
It has Eric Kratz on it.
They have Eric Kratz, who is pure and good. Yeah, the Americans are going to play in the fourth place. Andrew Baggerly tweets, after a series of fortunate breaks, USA Baseball backed into what becomes a one-game play-in for the 2020 Olympic field. The point is that the Americans are playing a fourth-place game at a tournament called Premier 12. We talked about it last week, I think. But they find themselves in the fourth-place game against Mexico. And the sort of way that this is arranged... The winner of the Premier 12, which is the tournament, will qualify, as well as the top team from each region that's represented. So Japan is in the tournament but has automatically qualified for the Olympics as the host. Following that, South Korea has also qualified, being that they have clinched the top team in the tournament from that region. Asia and Oceania, I mean, they knocked off Australia as well to get to that point.
Mm-hmm.
America and Mexico are the only teams remaining in the tournament from the Pan American region.
Mm-hmm.
So the winner of this fourth place game at Premier 12 will have finished in fourth place at Premier 12, but more importantly, will qualify for 2020. Even if the United States do not qualify at Premier 12, they have at least one more opportunity to do it. at another qualifying event, which will take place in the U.S. In March, that they have to win to qualify. If they don't win to qualify there, but come in second or third place in that tournament, then they'll have another opportunity at a tournament in the next month after that one.
I hope they just wrap it up right now.
They could wrap it up right now. There would be no point in no reason to continue to give updates about it. But maybe we'll have to, and that'll be fine, because I'm so sure that the Americans will be in the Olympics in 2020.
And we can keep an eye on the Dutch national team.
Who were runners-up at the Euro-African Games a couple months ago. There were five teams represented from across Europe, including Israel, the eventual winner, Netherlands, the runner-up at Euro-Africa, I think like Spain, the Czech Republic.
Nice. Man, it's so cool when people from non-traditional baseball countries play baseball.
Something else, I don't know. Yeah, Israel ran away with it, though. The Netherlands will be back at that last qualifying event that I mentioned earlier. So hopefully we'll get to see some honkball at the Olympics.
If we don't see any honkball at the Olympics, I'll also be disappointed.
And besides all that, South Africa will probably wind up qualifying, too, as I think that... I don't know that they are the only team competing in baseball out of Africa, but they certainly seem to be the most competitive.
Yeah.
On a world stage.
Is Gift Ngope playing?
That's a good question. He was on the roster in the World Baseball Classic in 2017.
Mm-hmm.
I am not seeing an updated roster at the moment.
Well, I hope that Gift Ngope is playing on the South African team. I hope he gets a chance to represent his country.
I'm still Googling.
Pirates released 23 minor leaguers from organization. One of them was not Gift Ngope, but Victor Ngope, who I didn't know about.
Is that...
It's his brother.
Gift's brother. He was in the Pirates. How recently?
Well, as of one day ago, he got released.
He doesn't seem... It doesn't seem like he's on the national team. senior national squad.
He signed a minor league deal with the Phillies.
Yes.
And opportunity knocks again for groundbreaking prospect Gift.
Kieran Lovegrove is also not on Team South Africa.
A lot of minor league players aren't on these baseball teams. I was just hoping.
It seems like probably this is mostly not going to be
a high-level tournament a la World Baseball Classic. I don't think so. Yeah. But I think that probably the Japanese, at least, I'm not sure about the Koreans, but maybe, will allow their professional baseball players to compete in the tournament, thereby guaranteeing them to win at the Olympics. I think that's what used to happen when baseball was in the Olympics.
Yeah, usually. I think that I know that the Koreans are the defending gold medalists.
Mm-hmm.
When was the last time America won a gold medal in baseball?
Why don't you look that up, and I'm going to make a guess. 1982.
I like that guess. I think you're wrong, though. I think it's 1996. I don't know, though. That's my guess.
Sure.
You're both wrong. It's 2000.
Well, was that the most recent time that they played baseball, or it must have been 2004?
No, the defending gold medalist of South Korea from 2008.
2008?
Yeah.
Wasn't even that long ago. They only skipped it for 3 Olympics?
What year is it? 2020 coming up?
2 Olympics.
Yeah, just 2012 and 2016.
Huh.
The United States' only gold medal in Olympic baseball is 2000.
Was it a lot of Japan before that?
Cuba.
Ooh.
92, Cuba, 96, US, 2000. Why does this only go back to 92?
Maybe that's the first time they tried it.
I guess it must have been. That's so odd, though. It was an exhibition event in like the early, in the turn of the 20th century, but for some reason it...
Those don't count.
Didn't make the jump from like the 20s to now.
Not a lot of people play baseball as compared to like ping pong.
Basketball?
Basketball? I guess
basketball hasn't been around for that long.
High diving? Bobsled?
1992 Cuba, 1996 Cuba, 2000 US, 2004 Cuba, 2008 Korea.
Those Cuba are the juggernauts of Olympic baseball.
Yeah, the de facto juggernauts. I don't know if they'll compete this year.
I don't know. It depends if they allow...
Major leaguers?
Yeah, if they... Well, yeah, it depends if they... I don't know who's going to be able to play in the Olympics at all. Probably no one.
We'll have another update next week after we do some research.
Great.
Great. Let's kick it on over to the tot stove.
That's the tot stove lighting up.
Yeah, I love it. Scott Boras, super duper baseball agent Scott Boras, has answered a question that we had last week in an interview that he gave at the general manager meetings, saying that it seems like the hot stove in general will be a lot hotter than it was last year. His quote, clubs are wanting meetings and wanting to get in front of the players. They're all telling me they want to make much earlier decisions. I did not hear any of that last year. I think all of my top clients, is what he said, have the possibility of signing much earlier than last year.
That's nice to hear. It's always, you know, you got to take whatever Scott Boras says with a grain of salt, but I don't see any strategic reason that he would say this. I don't see a reason to disbelieve him.
For me, if anybody would know what the climate is, and actually I feel like if anything that quote would influence it in the direction that he says it's going in anyways,
right? It would encourage teams to it would light a fire underneath them to say, whoa, yeah, I'd better get on my game before all of his tasty clients get snapped up.
If he's the one working with all the clients and working with all the teams, which he pretty much is,
yes,
then I feel like he is the authority on how free agency is gonna go.
Hey, yeah, fair enough. Well, that's terrific.
Yeah. So, excited to look out for that. His clients include today's Tater Tot, Hyunjin Ryu, and in addition, Garrett Cole, Steven Strasburg, Dallas Keuchel, Anthony Rendon, Nick Castellanos will all be Boras clients who will sign for lots of money this year. So, he's right in the thick of it. I think of him as a hero. At first, I was, like, mad that he had all these clients, but then I was like, I don't know, there's really no reason.
He's a hero of organized labor.
Yeah, Scott Boras, hero of organized labor, says that organized labor should have a better state this year than it did last year. What else?
Ben Zobrist said maybe he'll play next year. He's 50-50. Last week we said it looks like he's open to playing next year, but now he says family comes first. So we don't know still.
I'm glad he's working out every day just because physical fitness is important.
That's true. I wouldn't want him to get unhealthy, especially when he's in a difficult place emotionally.
Right. Surprising no one, Steven Strasburg has rejected his qualifying offer from the Nationals and will test the free agent market. The beloved Tater Tot Steven Strasburg. Do we have an episode on him?
Yeah, it was last one. It was the last one we just did.
Oh, yeah. No, that was two episodes ago. Oh. Last week we did
that. Yeah, yeah, last week was the double tots. Yes, we did an episode in Steven Strasburg two episodes ago.
I forgot about that because my long-term memory is gone.
That's pretty bad.
Isn't it?
Yeah, maybe you should go to a brain doctor.
I would love that. Eric Gonzalez on the other side of the tater tot spectrum from superstar free agent Steven Strasburg. Week. And from last week, cannot catch a break. Appears he fractured his foot in winter ball. Where is he playing winter ball?
I don't know where he's playing winter ball. I only saw the headline, but I also saw that he had surgery for the fractured foot recently.
He's playing in the DR. The lead of this article is misfortune has followed the Pittsburgh Pirates, Eric Gonzalez, to the Dominican Republic.
That's a good headline.
Yeah. It is his second bone break in the past 7 months after he fractured his clavicle April 19th. I'm sorry, I shouldn't laugh at this guy. His career is slipping away from him, but I just, you know, there's
something
fun.
By his persistent misfortune. We can all laugh at that.
Gotta laugh to keep from crying, I guess.
Yeah. What a sad episode of Tater Tots.
This is gonna be a sad season, I think.
Sad season.
I mean, about to be excited about Hyunjin Ryu, so this is gonna be maybe marginally happier.
Okay, well, let's get all the sadness out of the way now, and then we can just really build it up and say, Hyunjin Ryu. But first, here are the teams interested in Zach Wheeler so far. The White Sox, the Yankees, and his previous team, the Mets, have all checked in on Mr. Zach.
If I were a professional baseball player who played for the Yankees or the Mets and just signed with the other team, like, why wouldn't you just do that?
You wouldn't have to move.
You wouldn't have to move, which is like, that's got to be the hardest part about switching teams.
Is moving?
Yeah.
Yeah, can you imagine being traded?
All the time. Like, moving constantly?
Moving is the worst thing in the entire world.
Yeah.
And having to do it on a regular basis across the country, let alone all at once because you got traded and have to be at the game later that night, that seems quite bad.
Hey, let's talk about a tater tot.
Well, today's tater tot is the Korean-born starting pitcher, Hyunjin Ryu.
Ryu wearing him up. Yeah, wearing number 99, going for the 100th victory of the year.
High fly ball to center field and deep. Back goes Hampson at the wall. It's happened! It's happened! Babe Ryu!
Babe Ryu.
I love it. Look how much they love it. They're in the bleachers.
Oh, why are they in the bleachers?
I don't know if those are the main announcers or if those are some kind of on-field reporters. I'm not sure. Either way, interesting.
Yeah, I think... So this is Hyunjin Ryu's first career home run. And the journey was, in my opinion, is very interesting. Just in terms of, like, all that he's accomplished. And even in, you know, like, all that he had already accomplished by the time he got to the United States. And then sort of his trials and tribulations once he became a Dodger, I think make his first career home run probably very cathartic for the people who have been paying attention for a while. Hyunjin Ryu's whole career started a very long time ago, 15 years ago in South Korea. He had Tommy John surgery in 2004, which Hyunjin Ryu is
34, 33.
He is 32 years old. In 2004, he was 17 years old.
Yeah.
And had his Tommy John surgery. In 2005, he led his high school team to a national Korean championship.
Mm-hmm.
He pitched 22 consecutive scoreless innings and batted .389. And then in 2006, he was drafted number one overall by the Hanwha Eagles of the KBO.
A wonderful pedigree. And he went on to earn his stripes on those Eagles.
An even better pedigree. That season, his rookie season, he won the pitching triple crown with, for what it's worth, 18 wins, 2.23 ERA, 205 strikeouts, and 201.2 innings pitched, which is striking.
A good performance, also, I would say.
He was the rookie of the year. He was the player of the year in the KBO at 19 years old in 2006. In 2008, he was an Olympic gold medalist. He is the defending Olympic gold medalist out of South Korea. And in 2009, he led his team to a runner-up at the World Baseball Classic behind the Juggernaut Japan team. In 2012, Hyunjin Ryu had 210 strikeouts in the KBO and a 2.66 ERA, but his record was 9-9, and he earned 10 no decisions, which, you know, I know that in 2019, we don't care very much about, you know, win statistics, win-related statistics, but 10 no decisions must have been at least very frustrating to experience.
I believe that they care more about wins still, and especially because that was back in 2012, 100 years ago. I agree that that was probably quite frustrating for him.
Yeah, I think, you know, if you win 18 games, or even if you lose 18 games, it kind of is what it is. But I feel like as a pitcher, if you're, like, pitching your best and putting your team in a position to earn you a win and they don't do it. So that season, he apparently repeatedly expressed his interest in leaving Korea for the U.S. And so that's when people started taking an interest. The profile that was written about him in the Los Angeles Times paints the picture of an incredibly confident individual.
Yes.
Which, you know, you would figure is he'd climbed the highest heights of his sport in his country. He was the best baseball player in South Korea by the time he was 26 and made his way to the U.S. and showed absolutely no signs of being flapped. Is that appropriate to say? He was not phased, I guess, is
He refused to become flapped.
He was not flapped.
He wasn't,
no flapping.
He wasn't one... He flapped zero times.
It was noted that he was incredibly comfortable in his spring training appearances.
A lot of great ping pong-related anecdotes.
Not over-pitching. Seemed to know exactly what he wanted to do, what he needed to do to be a successful pitcher in the majors. Which is impressive. I feel like more often than not, even the amount of access that we have as casual fans of baseball... narratives surrounding people with high expectations often include massive letdowns right off the bat.
Mm-hmm. But Hyunjin Ryu didn't have that. He was good.
No, he was excellent his rookie season. Yeah. He pitched 192 innings. He had an ERA of 3.00. He had 12 hits, 3 doubles, a triple, a 207, 233, 293 batting line. He had 5 RBIs, scored 5 runs for what it's worth. He took a lot of heat. Or I don't know that it was heat. I think that people were trying to make heat out of his physical fitness.
Mm-hmm.
And he's
a big dude.
He's a big dude. And he said there are two fit. There are two. He said, I want to read his quote exactly because mm-hmm. I liked it. He said, there's two different shapes, one to be fit and one to throw a baseball. And I think that that's an incredibly, it's a very good perspective for a 26-year-old to have, especially when he's coming to a new country and there's all this pressure on him.
And everyone's calling him fat, which can't be that nice. I would imagine it's not very nice to have everyone in a new environment in a language you don't speak calling you fat all the time.
But he knows his body type. He understands what he needs to be.
That's confidence. Not only is he accepting of his body type, he also recognizes it for its value, right? I mean, that's confidence. That's
all you need. And he finished in fourth place in Rookie of the Year voting that season. He was the first Korean pitcher to appear in a postseason game.
Start a postseason game.
What did I say?
Appear in.
To start a postseason game.
I believe there have probably been relievers.
Yeah, probably. Unfortunately, after 2013, the wheels kind of fell off a little bit.
Too many injuries.
He regressed in 2014, and then he had just like a whole slew of injuries. He missed 2015 to a labrum tear. He missed most of 2016 with some elbow surgery that perhaps had stemmed from the Tommy John. I couldn't find any evidence that would suggest it, but
Tommy John was so long ago at that point.
The surgery was a debridement surgery.
Debridement?
Which is...
Is that like a divorce?
No. It's a procedure that's done to address like inflamed or infected tissue in his left elbow. So I wouldn't be surprised if it were related, but I couldn't find any indication that it was.
It's probably related, but every pitcher in the world has elbow damage, and his Tommy John was at that point 10 years ago, No, more than that. 11. 11 years prior, so I don't know.
I don't know. You're probably right that it may have just been normal wear and tear. As a side note, Hyunjin Ryu is a lefty. He is a righty at everything else.
He's a lefty pitcher.
And that's it.
He's not a lefty.
He is not even a lefty hitter.
No.
He is righty at everything else. He's a natural righty. His dad bought him a left-handed glove, I guess, by accident.
By accident? Because... Oh, I thought it was on purpose so that he could be a good lefty for baseball.
So it says, when he was 10 years old, his father bought him a left-handed glove, so he learned how to throw a baseball left-handed.
Oh. I guess I put my own interpretation on there, which is that his dad wanted him to be more likely to be a professional baseball player, and lefties are more likely to do that.
I suppose it's possible that
either interpretation is possible.
Yeah.
I don't know. Do we know any more about his dad? Probably not.
Not really. That's all the information that I had about his handedness.
That's okay. It's interesting.
I did think it was interesting. Yeah. Yeah, so he worked with his injuries. 2017 was a little bit of a rebound season, and he had another injury in 2018 with his groin. He was on the 60-day DL. In 2018, he became the first Korean pitcher to start a World Series game, and he accepted himself a qualifying offer to stick around with the Dodgers, and boy, did he make the most of it. He certainly found it in 2019. He made his first All-Star game. He came in second place, as we recently found out, in Cy Young voting.
Mm-hmm.
To Jacob DeGrom.
Mm-hmm.
He led the majors in ERA and walks per nine with 2.32 ERA and 1.2 walks per nine. He led the NL in park-adjusted ERA with 1.79, though Gerrit Cole was slightly better in the AL with 1.85. He also set career highs, at least U.S. career highs, in strikeouts and whip. I think probably his overall career high is still 2.10. From that 2012 season in the KBO.
There were 30 total votes cast for the NL Cy Young Award, and one of them had Hyunjin Ryu in first place, 29 had Jacob DeGrom, and I read the column from the Big Dope, who put Hyunjin Ryu first, and their justification was this: for most of the season, Hyunjin Ryu was indeed better than anyone. If a Cy Young voting took place in August, he would have won. And at that time, he had the lowest ERA in baseball. If the season had ended then, he would have had the lowest ERA in history, which is very cool. Unfortunately, he had like 6 bad starts at the end of the season and kind of blew up everything, which is too bad. But there was a long time in the season when Hyunjin Ryu was doing something even more special than just a really good baseball season.
I will say at least that I can't believe that did not... Like, at very least, I can't believe that it didn't net him more first-place votes.
Jacob DeGrom was much better than him overall.
I guess. But, like, if he was that good, one first-place vote?
But then he became bad.
For 6 starts.
I know. But then, you know, I mean, those 6 starts count.
I guess. What if they had been at the beginning of the season and then subsequently he had been like the best pitcher of all time?
Then no one would have ever noticed, right? Because he never would have been competing for the ERA record. So if anything, you've made a good point in favor of my position.
Fine.
But hey, no, I mean, all props to Hyunjin Ryu for having a great season.
Yeah, and he's looking for a 3-4 year deal with whomever he signs with next.
The problem with Hyunjin Ryu, he made himself a lot of money this season by being good, I would imagine. Of course, he's on the older side. It seems like you would think he's young, except, of course, he came over internationally. He has a lot more experience playing baseball than most people who have been in the league as long as him. And, of course, he had all those elbow and shoulder injuries, which are terrible things for a pitcher to have had.
Right. Yeah. It really does make you wonder. Because when he's healthy, he is, like, very much... workhorse. He can get you 200 innings or close to it, at least. But you do kind of have to wonder as he ages past 32, which signing a 3-4 year deal would wind him up
35 or 36.
You have to wonder what with all of the injury stuff that he's gone through, and it's been a lot. It's been like 2.5 to 3 seasons worth of injuries. Whether he's gonna get, I don't know.
I also don't know. Hopefully he's good and doesn't play for the Los Angeles Dodgers. Those are some of my hopes.
Which would you have, like, if you could prioritize those hopes?
1, doesn't play for the Dodgers. 2, is good. That's a relatively easy question, I suppose.
Yeah. We mentioned that he is a Scott Boras client. Mm-hmm. I'm sorry that I grabbed that a little bit too early, because we probably could have set it up at this point and read some fun Scott Boras.
We have
quotes.
More Scott Boras material here.
All right. Why don't you read the first one, and you can also read the third one, and I will read the second one.
Quote, "When you go to the zoo and half the bears are asleep, you're not able to enjoy the zoo." This is what Scott Boras said recently in regards to the baseball teams not competing. Scott
He's
Boras
right.
is, we've discussed this before, a master of the analogy, or a terrible analogy maker, depending on your perspective. I think this is among his worst analogies, and we got a couple doozies in here, because of course you can still enjoy the zoo if half the bears are asleep. Half the bears are always asleep. That's like part of the
That's
deal
the
when you go to
the zoo
is that half the animals will be asleep.
I think that Scott Boras gets so much credit for saying this stuff because everyone else in baseball, especially every other agent in baseball, is
boring
so boring.
And never writes down a metaphor that they're going to say later and then thinks about it.
Exactly.
He does seem like a strange dude.
He has the highest profile and he makes the most of it. He's a hero.
I mean, I would say that he's among the greatest American poets.
I'm such a Scott Boras fan. I never expected this to be the case.
This next one I'm excited for you to read.
All right. Yeah. On his client, Nicholas Castellanos. Does he go by Nicholas or does he go by Nick?
Usually Nick.
Yeah. Okay. On his client, Nicholas Castellanos, Scott Boras was quoted to have said, "Old Saint Nick delivers once a year. Young Saint Nick delivers all season."
Oh my God.
Which is, of course, we're talking about Santa Claus. Who we love.
Yeah, of course. That big and generous man who gives us all the gifts. Nick Castellanos gives you a gift every 5 days.
Is that true?
Absolutely. A gift in terms of a great starting pitching performance.
He's not a pitcher.
And so the case... Oh, wait. Really? What is Nick Castellanos? Isn't he an infielder?
I think so. I always thought of him as a utility. Yeah, third baseman and right fielder.
Okay, my mistake. Embarrassing.
He's not even that good.
I think the case that Scott Boras is making here
is pretty good.
Nick Castellanos is better than Santa Claus. I mean, I think that's fairly apparent on its face, right?
What do you think Santa Claus's war is?
Oh boy, it's gotta be really high. He delivers presents to all the good girls and boys,
there's no replacement level Santa Claus.
There's only one Santa Claus.
Yeah,
but
he's really good at what he does.
There's only one Nick Castellanos.
Yes, but he is one of many people who could potentially deliver,
play third base,
quote unquote,
for your baseball team.
Deliver at third base for your baseball team, quote unquote, deliver as
deliver.
Old Saint Nick does. Old Saint Nick has a much better delivery rate, in my opinion, than Young Saint Nick.
Yeah, and of course, another issue with this is that Nick Castellanos, as far as I know, is not a saint.
No, but that, okay, listen, this is one of my favorite Scott Boras things, is that he's not just like, oh yeah, my client's really excited. He gives him nicknames.
Like Young Saint Nick. I love this analogy. It's a little sweaty, but I think it's terrific.
It's
clever. There's something very clever about it. Young Saint Nick delivers all season. Every day you put him at third base, he's going to deliver for your team. Not
you
like that it, lazy, not valuable Santa Claus.
Who can't play third base.
Probably
but,
not.
I want to reiterate, he does deliver with an incredible efficiency. He goes to every house in one night around the world.
Maybe what Scott Boras is saying is, if you want someone to plug in at third base for one day, who's going to deliver like mad? Well, you go up to the North Pole, you drag St. Nicholas out of there kicking and screaming. But if you want someone who's going to deliver every day consistently, you got to go with Young St. Nick. And all it's going to cost you is $150 million.
No way Nick Castellanos gets $150 million in free agency.
I'm going to update my number and say $75 million.
Even still, I think there's...
I have no idea. As I demonstrated earlier, I forgot what position he played.
Anyways, here's the last Scott Boras quote that you should read.
Here's the last Scott Boras quote.
Yes.
"Any player that wins a world championship enjoys where they played and what they did," Boras started. And you know, these guys were truly ellipsis. I don't know. I guess in the oceans of the playoffs, the Strasburg sank many contending ships. The idea is that you look at them and say, are you comfortable there? Of course they are comfortable there.
Rare lapse.
Usually Scott Boras is a master of nautical analogies. He loves to references and swimming and warships and all these things. And so he realized he was in a position to pull out one of these great similes that we know and love and realize he had not written anything down when it comes to Steven Strasburg. He knew he had the ocean in his back pocket, so he said, these guys were truly, I don't know, I guess in the oceans of the playoffs.
Look, you're talking about, there's something that you could get something in there about harbors, because you've already got, like, it's a very strong foundation. You're talking about championships, right?
So yeah,
it's like,
yeah, good
this
point.
Is the champion
there's a lot
ship.
Of, there's and, a lot of fertile ground there.
And you really like where you're staying, so that's like the harbor where the boat has been. He just didn't even get to the second half of the metaphor.
Are you comfortable there? Of course they are comfortable there. You know, like boats are, like warships.
Like boats are comfortable after they sink ships.
After they do a good job at blowing up other boats, of course they are comfortable there.
Extremely comfortable in the harbor that they have been moored in.
I think we should name him the Poet Laureate.
We already did do that last
time. Oh, right.
I mean, we should renew his...
We should renew his status as Poet Laureate. Poet Laureate in perpetuity.
Yeah. Congratulations to Scott Boras. Congratulations to Hinjin Ryu and your inevitable 3 to 4 year deal. Hey, got one more thing for you. That's a snake fact. And it is to say that the world's longest lived snake was a boa constrictor named Popeye, who died at the Philadelphia Zoo in 1977 at the ripe old age of 40 years and 3 months. Philadelphia Zoo, the bears are never asleep there. At least they weren't the last time I went, which was several years
ago. That's good. I love to look at bears.
And until next time, you can spend all the time in the world that you want looking at bears, because that's going to do it for us this week. You can donate to Baseball for All. Find a link in our show notes. That's an important initiative that gets girls involved in youth baseball programs around the country. You can follow us on Twitter at TaterTotsPod. You can like us on Facebook. Find the Facebook URL /TaterTotsPod. And you can, email us. TaterTotsPod@gmail.com. Next week on the Tater Tots, we'll be talking about Josh Harrison, former Pirate, current Detroit Tiger, master of my heart. Okay. Bye.
Bye. But that's not possible. Littlest league possible. What are you doing, Henry? Meow. Let's cut to the cat cam.